You know, you're not supposed to start out with an apology, but let me apologize for my voice today. I've had a cold, lots of congestion, and it really got to me coming in on the plane yesterday. And it's not, as the students, they may not believe this, but it's not because I yelled too much during the K-State, Oklahoma State football game at the referees. What I'd like to do today is to talk to you about some fundamental changes in soil taxonomy, and particularly the future perspectives from three of the developers of the Illustrated Guide to Soil Taxonomy. I'll be giving you a little bit more information about this illustrated guide. My name's Mickey Ransom. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors on the paper, John Galbraith from Virginia Tech, and also Kim Kirshen from K-State. And I might mention that Kim will be doing a poster session this afternoon that deals with teaching beginning soils and podology using the illustrated guide. Everyone knows what the problem is. You know, we've documented this already very well today. Soil taxonomy is too complicated. That's what we start out with. This is what it looks like now. I don't really need to go into details about this, I don't think. Now, really, my impetus and the reason that I really got involved in wanting to make some changes was from a teaching standpoint. I was finding, as many of you have also found, that we simply cannot teach soil taxonomy anymore. It's too complex. We've got to have a simpler way to do it. So really what we came up with is there was a work group that developed what's known as the Illustrated Guide to Soil Taxonomy. And this guide has some rather simple goals. First, it was designed to help users with some background in soil science to learn about soil classification. It was never intended to replace a full version of Keys to Soil Taxonomy. We do feel that it serves as a bridge until we can make more fundamental changes to soil taxonomy. In the talk today, these are the objectives that I would like to cover. I'd like to present an overview of the development of the Illustrated Guide to Soil Taxonomy. I'd also like to discuss the future of soil taxonomy based on our experiences as three of the developers of the Illustrated Guide. And the final point I'd like to make is these views that we're presenting are our own. In some cases, these views are still in the development stage, and they do not necessarily represent the thoughts of the entire work group, which, by the way, is still active. We're still having teleconferences. To quickly review about some of the strengths of soil taxonomy, first of all, every soil is allocated to a class through the family level. This strongly enables soil survey production and interpretation. Decisions can be made in the field. They're supported with surrogate information and then further validated with laboratory data. The names of the classes are very descriptive, and they're based on scientific terms. It's currently used in more than 137 countries, and GREAT groups are the basis for the new Universal Soil Classification System. Basically, the system can be fixed if it's wrong, and improvements, we think, can be suggested through some sort of a systematic process. Now, there are some weaknesses. Some of these have already been discussed today. Certainly, the complex criteria are based on quantitative limits. One of the big problems I find with soil taxonomy and helping students to understand it is the complex wording. I'll give you an example. Look at all of these connectors. And you know, if you're using this, you know how complex this can be. If you misread one of these words, an and, where it should be an or a both, when it should be one or more of the following, and so forth, you're going to end up classifying it wrong, and it's totally frustrating to students to do that. The other thing that I would say is, at least from my perspective, I think we spent too much time and effort really on trying to write some classification criteria for some soils that are not that extensive. I just think we wasted too much time on that. And the final point here is that some taxa have little or no data collected to substantiate their identity. Give you an example here. This is the family classification, fine loamy, mixed superactive, thermic, keratic, paleostaph. As an example here, the first five levels ranked from lowest to the highest would be in that category. Now, levels 3, 2, and 1, these are all jammed together to make one word. Now, to an experienced pedologist, this probably makes perfect sense. But if you're teaching that to college students, if you're talking to a consultant, a landowner, or just the general public, that makes less sense, and it can be very frustrating to those people. Also, certainly one problem we have is grammatical inconsistencies. Soil taxonomy has been written over time by very many different authors, and frankly, there's just probably not been as much of a uniform editing process what we have as we really need. Also, there's no key to the epipetons or to the diagnostic surface or the characteristics. You basically have to read through those and pick out the ones that it looks like is the best choice. The terms horizon and layer, they have multiple meanings, but the terms are used interchangeably. And this last point, I'm going to come back, some people have already alluded to it, but classification of soil series is not a part of soil taxonomy. So to give you a real brief history of how we came up with the Illustrated Guide to Soil Taxonomy, there was an ad hoc advisory group that started in May 2011. It finished with a publication in 2014, so we were fairly punctual in getting it out. All of this was done with monthly teleconferences, and we had no face-to-face meetings. Our purpose was to develop a complementary guide for soil classification and to make use of illustrations, horizon and profile photos, maps, and flow diagrams. We did have some assumptions. One, that our target audience would have taken at least one course with some soil science content. And also, when you simplify things down, you cannot be accurate 100% of the time. So what we felt was that if we could achieve a 97% accuracy, and what I mean by this is that if you're looking at the same soil and you classify it using the Keys to Soil Taxonomy versus the Illustrated Guide to Soil Taxonomy, is that you'll get it right about 90% of the time using those simplified keys. Now, to get to what we see as some future changes to soil taxonomy, certainly all of the speakers today have talked about the change that lies ahead. Hopefully, there's some rhyme or reason to some of this change, and that it's symptomatic here. Start out with a caterpillar and end up with a nice, pretty butterfly. To kind of get to the point that we are, I think we're past the current stage. We're currently in the transition stage. So where do we go in the future? As far as the future goes, I think one thing we need to keep in mind is that our classification and the future change is going to remain based on soil properties affecting use and management. And that's because our soil taxonomy is a basis for making soil surveys. That's not going to change. That's why we do our work. So I think we do need to stick to use and management. One thing we certainly need to do is to simplify the classification keys, and that's what we did with the illustrated guide. This shows the classification keys for the calcic horizon, 2004 keys, and this shows it with the illustrated guide. Now, with the illustrated guide, we right up here at the front, we tell you exactly what a calcic horizon is. And then we give you the concept and the background information. We think most readers will probably not be interested in this, but this does give you some background information for those that want to know more. And then these are the classification keys, and you can see how much simpler they are. And finally, we also tell readers what type of a horizons you might expect to look for to see if it has a calcic horizon. Basically, to do this, you need to start out, you need to review, you need to edit, you need to test, and you need to go back. But I totally agree with what Toby said. At some point, you have to reach the point that we have a final product, and then let's set it aside and keep it that way for a while. Another point here is that our classification keys should be positive and inclusive. Basically, what we want to do is we want to tell readers what it is, not what it's not. An example here is the inclusive criterion, as in the illustrated guide for the Densic Horizon. Basically, if it's written as inclusive criterion, root penetration is more than 10 centimeters apart. Unfortunately, too much of it in our keys are currently written exclusive in a statement like this. The root penetration cannot be less than 10 centimeters apart. It's a subtle change, but it makes a big deal for readers. I really think that we need to preserve our soil series concept and find a way to incorporate that into soil taxonomy. Our soil series, certainly their pre-soil taxonomy, and the classification of soil series is not a part of soil taxonomy. However, the soil surveys provide the basis for making soil surveys, and I just think it's simply unrealistic to not include the soil series concept in future change. We have too much invested to walk away from that. But I think we can make some change here, and what I'm talking about is to find a way to include the official soil series database within soil taxonomy. And along with that, we also need to find a way to include our soil characterization database within soil taxonomy. And I'm going to go back to the point I made. You know, when we started this process, we were using these books. We're not using these books now. We're using these. That's what we're taking to the field. And we're using a smartphone like this. Case in point is the Soil Web app that actually has soil series already built into it. You can access the official series description database from that Soil Web app. So I think we need to find a way to do within to do that within an electronic version of soil taxonomy. Basically, what we're talking about here would be incorporating a query to do soil series name search. And the one I'm showing here is where you actually know the name of a soil series, but you could also do this if you knew the family, where you could come up with all of the different families that would have that same family classification. And again, that should be built right in to an electronic version of soil taxonomy. Same thing for the soil survey databases. We've got a tremendous database out there. And many of our users, they're really very interested in that data. We need to be able to work with them and find a way to communicate this information more to them. I think we can find a way to include this within an electronic version of soil taxonomy as well. I also think that what we're doing is really going to provide unifying concepts with a universal soil classification system. I think soil taxonomy will provide a portion of the basis for the new universal soil classification system. Future changes have a goal of gradual transition to a universal soil classification system. I think we need to develop that and build it into our process as we revise soil taxonomy. And I got to be honest with you, I'm not sure we're ever going to get to a universal soil classification system. But even if we don't, if we build this unifying concepts into it, it's to our advantage. And it's going to be a good thing in the long run. So the take-home message that I'm going to leave you with is if we're looking at soil taxonomy and changes to soil taxonomy, let's not throw out the baby with the bathwater. I think we need to, there's lots of good things about soil taxonomy. We simply need to change, modify, move on, keep in mind who our users are. And I put this slide up here so that you would be able to see some of the individuals who contributed to the illustrated guide to soil taxonomy. And I don't know, Mark, do we have time for questions and discussion?
I would say you have time for a few questions or comments from me.
All right. Thank you. Maxine, I'm sorry, associated with my congestion, it's also affect my hearing. Could you repeat that?
Yeah, the illustrated soil taxonomy, is that meant to be strictly an electronic version on the iPad because it weighs 5 pounds when you print it out?
Yeah, I really do. I'm not sure that was the intent that when we started this process, but I think we soon came to the realization that to illustrate it, to be able to put the hot link thing so that you can move from one point to another point, that you need to use the electronic version. And I honestly believe that is a workable way to do it. We've also, if you go to Kim's paper this afternoon, she's going to talk about the ways that it actually has improved student learning using the illustrated guide.
Comments or questions from me? All right, thank you,
Mickey. Thank you.